You're listening to the Rod Quantock Get Serious About Aging podcast series. This is episode 2, Older, Active and Valued. How old is older? Ask people at different stages of their lives and they'll give you different answers. A 5-year-old thinks a 35-year-old is ancient, while a 35-year-old thinks that 65 and retirement are the end of productive life. The reality is that we all age differently, and that there is no age where people become less capable, less worthy, less useful, simply less. In the 21st century, it is common for people in their 60s, 70s and beyond to work, study, volunteer, mentor, advocate and more. In this episode, I speak with comedian, speaker and social activist Rod Quantock, OAM, about his experiences of an active life after the traditional retirement age. Hi, Rod.
G'day, Colin.
Rod, have you given some thought to just how old is older?
I certainly have. As I get older, I keep thinking about getting older. And I think, Colin, it's not age. It's not an issue of age. It's an issue of your health, your mobility. It's also an issue, I think, of your income. I don't think we can forget that. And I think it's also an issue around your social network and your wider community engagement.
Let's hone in on some of Rod Quantock's experiences then of getting older. What's it been like for you, Rod? You're a bit over what was regarded as that traditional retirement age of 65.
Well, look, I think we get it out in the open straight away. I turned 72 about a week ago. I feel 17. I don't know why, but I've always felt 17. That must have been a really good year for me. My knees are going and my ankles are going, but otherwise my health is good. I've not retired. I can't afford to retire. You don't get a lot of super when you're a stand-up comedian. So I'll keep working until I can't. But that requires some sort of mental agility. Look, there are occasions where I'm standing on stage trying to remember why I'm there. But in the main, I cope. I live with a family that has chronic illnesses. So we don't socialise a lot as a family, but I'm very active in community groups, environment groups, and I speak to University of the Third Age people, and I speak to Probus groups and all sorts of groups of those people you would consider elderly, and they're all very sprightly. Their brains tick over very well, and I think a large part of it is keeping engaged in the community.
There is a myth that getting older inevitably means loss of function or contribution to community, but you're a living, breathing example that that's not the case.
Well, I think that's right. I gave a talk via Zoom to a Bayside climate change group. I couldn't believe what they were doing. They're going down to the forests of Gippsland with infrared cameras and microphones and sitting all through the night recording the movements of pygmy possums, and they're going up into Queensland and helping young people up there. They have knowledge, they have compassion, they have commitment, but also they've got time. And these are people who, you know, they may float down the Danube on one of those extraordinary cruises, but I suspect they spend most of their time engaging with things they're passionate about.
It's great to have an interest like that that can keep your mind nimble and active.
Look, it's a challenging area to work in, and I don't hold climate change up as the standalone thing that people can get engaged in, but there are so many things just around the corner. There are local community houses where you can go and learn things or teach things. The U3A is just an extraordinary organisation. The one that I spoke to in Bayside, even though it's a lockdown, they did 60 talks in the week that I gave my talk. So there are people organising it who are just dynamos, and I had over 100 people tune into that Zoom talk that I gave. But there's so many other things you can do. And I think one of the important things, and this is being a bit selfish, but the more you engage outside your home, whether it's just with your neighbours or something broader in the community, you'll find that when you're in need, there are people who A, know you're in need, and B, are more than willing to assist you. So it has two sides to it. It is rewarding in its own way, but I think also it's rewarding because you are in a sort of strange way protected from some of the things that the lonely suffer from.
Are there many stereotypes that portray a negative image of older people?
Clearly there are, and look, I don't get it much. I'm very well known in my community for all sorts of reasons, and on a larger scale, some years ago I was an extremely famous Australian. Only the elderly now remember me as being famous. But look, there is that sort of, oh, you're hello dear, you poor old thing, you know. So there is this idea that, look, even those people who are getting around on the Zimmer frame, you know, mentally they're extremely active. How you beat it, I don't know. I guess it's in a way role models, clearly education. But there are so many elders in that sense of the Aboriginal community uses the sense of elders, of revered people who have an immense amount to contribute. And what I see with the community engagement that I have is that young people are learning from elders. They're learning how to organise. They're getting history from them. And whatever the issue is, you know, whether you're concerned about trees in your park or you're concerned about how the kindergarten's looking or whatever you get involved in, your knowledge as an elder is irreplaceable.
And of course, nowadays, Rod, you mentioned that you're going to continue your stand-up comedy work until you can't anymore. It just illustrates just so many people are working beyond the old retirement age, that traditional 65. It's not the way anymore, is it?
No, assigning numbers to anything is always a bit dubious, but to sort of draw a line across your life and say, that's it, we don't need you anymore, or you don't fit in.
There must be many benefits to working beyond 65, whether it's paid work or voluntary work, Rod.
It's important for every member of a community to feel valued, and this is where this 65 cut-off point undermines people's sense of worth and value and contribution. But volunteering, and again, over many years, I've done a lot of work with people like the Red Cross and the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence and so on, people who work with volunteers, and they actually have volunteer departments, if you like. They had a head of volunteers, and they bring people into the organisations. They deal with their needs and their concerns about being a volunteer, and they make it very, very easy for them. And most people would, you know them from their local op shop. But there are also people who do home visits for people. These are outside the sort of normal council or Vic Health guidelines. These are just volunteers who do this. People need to feel that value.
Of course, there are many activities people can get involved in their communities, aren't there? And it's just a matter of looking up things like council websites for leads to what you can get into.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Look, if you ring your local council and say, I'd like to volunteer, you will be the most welcome person in the world.
Yeah.
I used to do a dinner for Brimbank Council for their Christmas dinner for their volunteers, and there'd be a couple of hundred people there of all ages. It was really interesting to see them. But they all knew one another. And these are the people who run the walking buses for kids going to primary school. They do the visiting. They do the Meals on Wheels. They do an extraordinary range of things. And each one of them, whatever their age, was lively and engaging. And above all else, they were happy.
And it's certainly a myth, isn't it, that you're lonely and grumpy when you get old. You're far from it, Rod.
No, I certainly don't feel lonely. And I certainly don't. I've got a lot to be grumpy about. But I'm not grumpy. That, again, I think is a stereotype. They're seen in television shows and films and so on that are written by people who aren't elderly, and it's just a stereotype. And we live by stereotypes. We stereotype so many people in our community, and elders aren't immune from that.
And just like not everyone's the same, so it is with their political activity, their interest in politics, their activism, and even their involvement and their understanding of politics is as many and varied as the whole of our community is diverse, isn't it, Rod?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm very conscious when I'm talking to groups not to take sides, but I always do encourage people to engage and keep up with current events. That's more and more difficult these days because there's so many competing ideas of what the truth is. But whatever you can get your brain to do, whether it's Sudoku or reading a book or painting or getting out in the garden, all of those things are wonderful for your mental health and your physical health as well.
You mentioned before the importance of family life. How crucial is it to have that family network?
Well, look, it is the basis for all our lives. And, you know, I despair of those families that are dysfunctional for whatever reason. We're recording this during the lockdown here in Melbourne. Family is so important at this time. People ring up and say, how are you getting on? And, you know, brother John is suffering a bit. Can you give him a call? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they are also the springboard into other social relationships and so on. So family is definitely the key. unfortunately, not all families work at the optimum level. In fact, I think very few of them do, really, if the truth be known.
Sure.
But they are the bedrock of our society, and they're the bedrock of who we are as people.
What about recreation, Rod? Do you do much physical activity yourself, and do you have hobbies and interests?
Well, look, my one passion is golf. And just before the lockdown, somebody rang me and said, would you like a game of golf? And I went out to get my golf clubs and somebody had stolen them.
Oh, dear.
So I've got to invest in a new set of golf clubs at some stage. But, yeah, golf is my passion.
What's your handicap?
Well, I don't do that anymore, Colin. Mm-hmm. That's a rude question. That's like asking a woman her age.
Sorry about that. I'll retract that.
No, that's all right. No, as a teenager, I was off scratch.
Yeah.
But as I got older and older, I tipped up into the low teens, occasionally dropped down into single figures, but I don't think that'll ever happen again.
Do you enjoy the outdoors or the social aspect
absolutely.
Or both?
Oh, no, both. I often play on my own because not everybody's available when I'm available, and I don't mind doing that either because in the main, golf courses are nature reserves, if you like. They are beautiful places to walk around, whether you've got golf clubs or not. But, yeah, getting into the outdoors is really important. And particularly for city people, you know, we do lose our sense of nature. We're the only creatures on the planet that actually look at a bird and say, isn't that beautiful? Every other creature says, yum, yum. To see those things, and I've noticed even now, again, because of the lockdown, we're getting a lot more variety of native birds into our gardens now.
Isn't that fantastic?
And it's just beautiful just to sit and watch them. I saw an owl the other night. I saw a family of tawny frogmouth sitting in a tree. It's wonderful, and it gives me joy anyway, and I'm sure it's the same for many others. Bird watching is a great endeavour, which really just involves you sitting still for a very long time.
And your interest in showbiz business remains a strong part of your life?
Yes. As a performer, I don't go and see other comedians much because it's a bit like going to work. I have my favourites and I often will share a stage with other comedians and get to see them that way. I do love the theatre. But increasingly, because of the nature of my family, that tends to come in via the TV and the internet rather than us packing up and going out to see something.
It was really great recently to be able to see a wonderful Broadway production like Hamilton being available to view in our own homes.
Oh, I know, and there's the Royal Shakespeare Company, there's opera now, the ballet. It's wonderful, and with big screen TVs and good sound systems, it's turn the lights off and you're almost there. The world can come into your home. Your interests can be as broad as you care for them to be. Look, I delight in the creative arts entirely. I think it's, you know, it's one of the great gifts that God or whoever gave us. This ability to make something from nothing and share it with the world is just, it's fantastic.
And if people listening are not into the fine arts, the performing arts, they can do their own art. They can do handcrafts. They can build things. They can make stuff with hammers and nails. It's just so wide the scope, isn't it, for hobbies and interests?
Oh, no, that's right. And again, a quick trip to your local council website or a phone call, you'll find lots and lots of people giving classes in mosaics and stained glass windows and flower arranging and all sorts of things. And again, it's not just the doing of those things, but you do them with other people. And those other people in the when you walk into that first class are strangers, and at the end of the course, they're friends.
Well, Rod Quantock, thanks for joining us in episode 2, Older, Active and Valued.
Thank you very much, Colin, and good luck to all the elders.
Elder abuse is a form of family violence and includes financial, emotional, physical, social and sexual abuse, as well as neglect. Our attitudes and behaviours towards older people can create an environment where abuse can occur. This podcast episode was created to show that people aged 65 to more than 100 years are unique, productive, valued members of our community who should always be treated with respect and dignity. If you or someone you know would like some support after listening to this podcast, please contact 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732. Seniors Rights Victoria, 1-300-368-821. Or Men's Referral Service, 1-300-766-491. If you're in immediate danger, please contact Victoria Police on 000. This podcast was made possible by the Southern Melbourne Primary Care Partnership Elder Abuse Prevention Network.